So we're going to start a little differently this evening. We're going to start with the song first, and we're going to end with the song last. So pass the sheets out. We're going to be discussing the second of the six limbs of surrender. The first one was humility, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur reviews his foolish waste of time, youth and adulthood, and now in old age. His mind is feeble and his heart is breaking. Why he has wasted his life not surrendering unto the youthful son of Nanda Maharaj. And now he ended the section praying that he please be accepted as a surrendered soul at his feet. Now in this section he's emphasizing the dedication of his entire existence in full surrender to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the song that we're going to sing is a very well-known song, Manasa Deha Geha Yokichu Mora. So if you have the page, we'll begin singing together.
Manasa deho geho yokichu mora, abhirudhu apare nanda kisho sampare vipade jimane
This is song number 3 of 8 songs from the Atmanivedana section. By far the most well-known song in this section, and one of the most well-known songs in all of Sharanagati. Well-known least within ISKCON, Prabhupada sang this so often. I didn't bring with me the recording of Srila Prabhupada singing, but there are many different moods that Prabhupada would adopt when singing the song. And we'll read the translation. Mind, body, family, whatever may be mine, I have surrendered at your lotus feet, O youthful son of Nanda. In good fortune or in bad, in life or in death, all my difficulties have disappeared by choosing those feet of yours as my only shelter. And then something that sounds very much like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you are the master of your eternal servant. If it is your will that I be born again, then may it be in the home of your devotee. Can anybody identify that Shikshastakam verse? Okay. So, also, Mama Janmani Janmani Shre Bhavatad Bhakti Ahaituki Tvayi. He's not looking for some material benediction. He's just surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord. So, as the surrendered soul, you can do with me what you wish. My wealth is yours. My pain is yours. My troubles are yours. My everything is yours. I'm here just to serve you. Number five, this is a very extreme. May I be born again even as a worm. As long as I remain your devotee, I have no desire to be born as a Brahma averse to you. In other words, any material circumstance doesn't matter as long as I can serve. But if it's a very high material circumstance, but if I'm averse to serving you, I don't want it. I just want to serve you. That's singular dedication. Number six, I yearn for the company of that devotee who is completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment or liberation. We're going to come back to some of these, like this next one. Father, mother, lover, son, lord, preceptor, and husband, you are everything to me. Bhakti Vinod says, O Kana, please hear me, O Lord of Radha. You are my life and soul. So when you see these kinds of declarations of dedication, you are my life and soul, this is Atma Nivedana. Many prayers to the Lord have that expression. Dedication, exclusive dedication to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I want to read some quotes here. One quote is from Lord Brahma in the second canto, speaking with Narada Muni. When Narada Muni is a little bewildered and he's trying to figure out if Brahma is the supreme or not the supreme and what's going on. Because he was under the impression that Brahma is supreme. Then he saw that Brahma is worshipping. So, if you're supreme, why are you worshipping? Who is it that you're worshipping? Can you make some room? So, Brahma replies to Narada, he's not the supreme. And not only he's not the supreme, he doesn't fully understand the supreme. This is 2.6.35, Srimad Bhagavatam. I am known as the great Brahma, perfect in the disciplic succession of Vedic wisdom. And although I have undergone all austerities and am expert in mystic powers and self-realization, and although I am recognized as such by the great forefathers of the living entities who offer me respectful obeisances, still I cannot understand him. The Lord, the very source of my birth. In the purport, Prabhupada explains he's unknowable other than through the process of self-surrender. A detailed description, but I'll just read. No one can know the personality of Godhead in full, but at least to a certain extent one can know the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, by self-surrender and a devotional attitude and by nothing else. Samadhi involves concentrating the mind upon the supreme cause of all causes. Concentration of the mind upon the supreme is certainly a form of devotional service. To cease from personal sense endeavors and to concentrate on the supreme cause is a sign of self-surrender. Abandoning other shelters and taking exclusive shelter of the personality of Godhead. It's a form of devotional service, and it entitles one to understand the Supreme Lord. Now, here's a letter that Prabhupada wrote to one of his disciples in March of 1969. The devotee's name was Krishnadas, not this one. One of Prabhupada's disciples, and he was living in Germany, and he was actually at that time he was a famous devotee. He was well known by all, but he was extremely intelligent, but he was a little proud of his intelligence. So it was one of those things. It made it a little difficult for him to get along with everybody. So Prabhupada wrote him a letter in March of 1969. My dear Krishnadas, please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated March 27, 1969. And I have carefully noted the contents. In the first portion of the letter, you have expressed your desire how to surrender. This surrendering process is unconditional. Surrendering does not mean that one should only surrender in favorable circumstances. That is not surrender. Surrender means, in any condition, the surrendering process must continue. In the latter portion of your letter, it appears that you have been disturbed on some trivial matters and you wish to leave the place and go to London. That is not at all good. You must work conjointly. That is my desire. And if you argue amongst yourselves over some individual interests, that is not surrender. So, Prabhupada is indicating surrender is obedience. And part of obedience is that you cooperate together. And quarreling over trivials is not cooperating together. That's not surrender. But it's voluntary obedience. It's not a kind of coerced obedience, but a voluntary obedience because I submit myself to that Supreme. Now, I mentioned this on the very first day, but now I'm going to try to keep up with it. There is a book that Srila Prabhupada worked on when he was a grihastha, living in Allahabad as the owner of a pharmaceutical business. And he worked together with other members of the Gaudiya Math, particularly some sannyasis who are very scholarly. And he did a lot of the research and work for a book that's called Prapana Jivanamrita. I didn't bring it with me, but I have a copy. And what it is it's an explanation of the limbs of surrender, and then mainly it's selected verses from so many different scriptural sources, not only Srimad Bhagavatam, but many, many different scriptural sources where exalted personalities or great acharyas have spoken something on each of the items of surrender. So now I'm going to read, just so you have some flavor, variety of flavors, of statements of self-submission to the Supreme Lord. Here's one by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At daybreak, baby Krishna awakens to the sound of the churning curd. He stealthily enters the residences of the cowherd damsels and, crawling swiftly with his lotus feet near the floor, blows out all the lamp wicks. Then he fills his mouth with the creamy butter. Oh, baby Krishna, who steals the butter, please protect me. This is from Prapana Jivanamrita. Keshanu says, this is a definition. As a sold-out animal does not consider his self-preservation, one who has surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Hari does not consider his own... Oh, I'm reading from the wrong section. Excuse me. It's the maintenance section. Here we go. Try again. That was a nice quote though, huh? Again, here's Keshanu. Being desirous of invoking his love, Krishna's love, those who have sacrificed their bodies in the service of Lord Sri Krishna and are freed from false pride, base attraction for gross sense objects, as well as all endeavor for personal satisfaction, are to be known as fully surrendered souls. So there's three things. They've dedicated their body to the Lord's service. Second is they're free from false pride. Base attraction and gross sense gratification. And the third thing is they make no separate endeavors for their independent self-gratification. Not mixed, but exclusive. Srila Vyasadeva states, because the Supreme Lord accomplishes everything by his own potency, nothing is unattainable for him. Similarly, for those who are fully dependent on him, he ensures all success of all their activities. Now, a famous acharya in the Sri Sampradaya is Jamuna Acharya. We're going to hear some more, but right now here's a couple from Stotra Ratna, a very famous set of poems. First he starts with humility. I am the storehouse of thousands of offenses. I have fallen into this bottomless material ocean, and I am devoid of the ultimate goal of life. O Lord Hari, by your causeless mercy, please give your association to this surrendered soul. O Supreme Lord, today I have surrendered this I and mine temperament unto your two lotus feet, as well as any fame or personal qualities arising from bodily considerations. So we're going to hear more about this I and mine, because it appears in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. It's a very important part of Bhagavad philosophy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in several places, this I and mine conception is discussed. There's the material I and mine, and there's the spiritual I and mine. The material I is, I am this body. Actually, Lord Brahma says, Prabhupada explains this in second canto. There's another kind of I besides the Krishna conscious I, and that is thinking I am God. When I get frustrated with thinking that I'm this body and trying to enjoy, I give that idea up and claim that I'm God. Both are false conceptions of self. And along with the misconception of I is the conception of mind. It's, the way Prabhupada explains this is that there are two psychic divisions of material consciousness, and this is the two, aham and mama. I and mine. And I'm working very hard to make more things mine. That's because I am so powerful. So, Jamunacharya is here praying that I place these misconceptions at your feet. I surrender. I abandon them. And any material possessions and any... deha geha. The material conceptions, I give them up. And they, all those things become your things. There's a very nice, well, I'll read, there's two here by Madhavendra Puri. You know who Madhavendra Puri is? The spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master. Madhavendra Puri is one who began worshipping the Gopal deity that today is in Gujarat, worshipped as Srinathji, but originally was installed by Vajra, the great-grandson of Krishna in Vrindavan. And Gopal appeared before Madhavendra Puri and gave him a pot of milk. Anyway, very, very great Vaishnava. Later that same Gopal appeared in his dream and said, actually I'm that deity that was installed by Krishna's great-grandson, but now I've been kept in a bush because when the Muslims came, the Gujaris were afraid for my well-being and for theirs, and so they hid me and they left and never came back. So I've been here for so long just waiting for you to come so you can begin my worship again. When the morning breaks, please find me. Here's exactly where I am. And so in the morning he went, and there was Gopal deity, and they had a big abhishek to bathe the deity, and grand offerings of anukut, piles and piles and piles of prasadam offered to the deity, and went on festival for months on end. And anyway, Madhavendra Puri. So here's Madhavendra Puri's prayers of self-surrender. O my evening prayer, all good fortune unto you. O my morning bath, I bid you farewell. O demigods and forefathers, please excuse me. I am unable to perform any more offerings for your pleasure. Now I have decided to free myself from all reactions of sins simply by remembering anywhere and everywhere the gem of the Yadu dynasty and the great enemy of Kamsa, Lord Krishna. I think this is sufficient for me. So, what is the use of further endeavors? Then another very famous one, very interesting kind of, anyway, reverse logic. Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me as being misled. Friends and relatives may call me obnoxious. My brothers may call me a fool, and the wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers assert that I am much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge an inch from the determination of serving the lotus feet of Govinda, though I am unable to do so. So this last part is very important with the self-surrender process. As we read in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami was identifying that although one may have the ability to perform some activity in this item of self-surrender, I feel I cannot do it independently. So of course Madhavendra Puri can do all of these things, but he's feeling himself incapable without the mercy of the Lord. I'm submitting myself to your service and I'm depending fully upon your mercy. That's the idea. Here's a quote from Nectar of Devotion, where Rupa Goswami is explaining surrendering everything to the Lord. If you want to look it up later, it's the page numbers are 97, 98. Prabhupada writes, Srila Rupa Goswami says that devotional service in friendship and devotional service in self-surrender are two different processes. Therefore, such relationships with the Lord can very rarely be seen. Only for the advanced devotees are these two processes easily executed. The purport is that it is very rare to see surrender which is mixed with sincere ecstatic devotion. One must give himself completely to the will of the Lord. Generally, this, in practice, the idea of self-surrender is reverential devotion, as opposed to the spontaneous devotion of ecstasy found within Vraja Bhakti. But this, what's being said here is those who are in the rasa of friendship in Vrindavan, although they're friends, which means like they're equals, they're totally dependent upon the Supreme Lord. The quality of their friendship is practically inconceivable. They're dealing as friends, but they're feeling completely dependent upon the Lord. This self-surrender is called Atmanivedana. According to different authorities, self is differently defined. Self is sometimes soul, sometimes body, sometimes mind. Full self-surrender therefore means not only surrendering one's self as spirit soul, but also surrendering one's mind and body to the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung a nice song in this connection. When offering himself as a fully surrendered soul, he says, Manasa Deha Geha. We just sang the song. My mind, my household affairs, my body, whatever it is that is in my possession, My dear Lord, I offer to you for your service. Now you can do with them whatever you like. You are the supreme possessor of everything, so if you like, you can kill me. Or if you like, you can give me protection. All authority belongs to you. I have nothing to claim as my own. This is still the nectar devotion. Sri Jamunacharya, in his prayers to the Lord, has expressed a similar idea in the following words. My dear Lord, I may be living within some body as a human being or as a demigod, but whatever mode of life, I do not mind, because these bodies are simply byproducts of the three modes of material nature, and I, who am in possession of these bodies, am surrendering myself to you. So the body, which is product of the three modes of material nature, it's yours. And the soul, it's yours. And my words, they're yours. No independence. I used to think something else. No more. Yours. Absolutely. This is the teaching or the instruction of self-surrender. I'm going to read one more. Then we'll do some more explaining. This one is actually it's two more. One is Hari Bhakti Vilas. Remember I explained Hari Bhakti Vilas first day? It's Sanatan Goswami's how-to manual. Remember that? How to perform devotional service. So in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatan Goswami writes about self-surrender. My dear Lord, a person who has surrendered himself unto you, who has confirmed conviction that he is yours, and who actually acts in that way with his body, mind, and words, can actually relish transcendental bliss. So, part of the fruit of this self-surrender is the abandonment of worldly troubles and woes and cares, and we'll hear about that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. I'm free from all those worries now, but now in that position of self-surrender, it's my constitutional position. I'm connected to you and you are all bliss, so I'm feeling that spiritual happiness. So, now here's the last quote I'm going to read for a moment. In Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 10, text 49, this is the story of the sons of Bhavananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy was one of the sons of Bhavananda Roy. But there was another son who was put on the Changa for not giving all the money of the taxes to the king. You know his name?
Gopinath Patanaik
is a title indicating he had this position as a tax collector. So Gopinath is one of the sons of Bhavananda Roy, and when Lord Chaitanya rescued him, appreciating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favor, Bhavananda Roy said, along with my home, my riches, my servants, and five sons, I surrender myself at your lotus feet. This is, in Prabhupada's purport, this is the process of surrender. As Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Manasa deha geha yo kicha mora tua pada arpilum tua padi nanda kishora. When one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, he does so with everything in his possession, his house, his body, his mind, and whatever else he possesses. If there is any obstruction to the surrendering process, one should immediately give it up without any attachment. Then he says something pretty heavy. If one can surrender with all his family members, there is no need to take sannyas. However, if the surrendering process is hampered by so-called family members, guess what? One should immediately give them up to complete the surrendering process. He's not advocating irreligious conduct. He's advocating that this is a supremely important objective in life. So, there's a lot on this subject, actually. One reference I'm going to identify is from Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami wrote 6 Sandarbhas, mentioned this, and in one of them, he describes the process of devotional service. In that Bhakti Sandarbha, he describes the surrendering process. And here's how he describes Atmanivedana. He writes, he refers to a verse from the Gautamiya Tantra. Kenapi devana hridi stitena yata niyuktosmi yata karomi. Translation: I work as I am directed by some unknown divine personality who dwells within the core of my heart. Jiva Goswami quotes that. Gautamiya Tantra. I just, as I'm directed, that's what I do. Brahma did the same thing when he climbed down the stem of a lotus flower searching out his self-identity. He heard some instruction, tapa. He didn't know where it was coming from, and he did it. He was just surrendered to the Supreme Lord, some unknown, predominating Supreme Controller. I surrender myself. So this I and mine, a little more on that one. Our acharyas describe this as abandonment of ahankar. We all know what that is. It's our best friend. Paul Siga. Hey, buddy. Tell me how good I am. Oh, you're great. You're the best person around here. Just ask me. I'll tell you every time you ask me. You're my real friend. Ahankar. So here's a paraphrase. Extending Jiva Goswami's idea about abandonment of the false conception or false ego. I am not anyone very special, and all the things which I proudly call mine actually belong to Lord Krishna. In the vast material creation of the Lord, I am but a tiny servant. The holy wish of Sri Krishna is almighty, and therefore my desire to be independent of his desires is useless. My true eternal nature is to be subservient to his wishes. Overwhelmed by ignorance, I thought that I was this temporary body of material elements, and all things of this world were mine. These perverted conceptions I have submitted at the lotus feet of the Supreme Godhead, Sri Krishna, and thus from this day I am no longer mine, but I belong solely to Lord Sri Krishna. I am yours. This is self-surrender. There's another part to that. I am yours. What about mine? If I am yours, then what's mine? The other half of it is, you are mine. I am yours, and you are mine. And Krishna says the same thing when he's speaking to Durvas Muni. When Durvas Muni is coming to get relief from the Sudarshan Chakra, he says, Lord Vishnu says, the devotees are in my hearts and I am in their hearts. They own nothing but me and I own nothing but them. They have no possession but me. And for me, there's nothing important but them. It's reciprocal, in other words, what I'm trying to say. The Lord considers the mood of the surrendered devotee and he reciprocates in kind with that mood of surrender. So as the devotee has nothing but the Lord's shelter, as far as the Lord is concerned, there's nothing apart from his devotee. He says to Durvas Muni, even all the opulences that I have in Vaikuntha, and how many opulences does the Lord have in Vaikuntha? He has all opulences. So they mean nothing to me without my devotee. Of course, he's always with his devotees, and therefore he's also always with his opulences. But they mean nothing to him. What means something to him is the loving relation of his devotees. And what about his devotees? These worldly things, opulences and so forth, they mean nothing. One thing means something. Shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. This is this Atmanivedana. Prabhupada said, he paraphrased, a standard prayer of submission to the Lord in this way, saying, my dear Lord, so many lifetimes I've passed uselessly, wasting my time and energy in pursuit of material activity, but I've come to my senses. And this one lifetime, I am dedicating completely unto you in your service. From this day forward, I am yours. Remember we read that one from Ramayana where Ram said, one who says that even once sincerely, my dear Lord Ram, from this day forward I am yours, that soul I will protect from all harm and all their endeavors will be successful. The Lord is very indebted when one factually submits. So it's with words, you vocalize that dedication within our mind and heart, we contemplate and feel and consider that dedication to the Lord, and with our practical sense activities, we engage very enthusiastically in the Lord's service. Jiva Goswami says the same thing. No surprise. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, he quotes from his uncle Sanatan's book, Hari Bhakti Vilas. Tavas miti vadan vacha tataiva manasa vidan tatsthanam ashritas tanva modate sharanagataha. Translation, the sharanagata, or the surrendered soul, says, O Lord, I am yours. Through the agency of speech and with the mind, he contemplates this. And with his body, he takes shelter of a holy place of pilgrimage connected with the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Vishakhapatnam. Or place where the deity is being worshipped in Vishakhapatnam. Because that makes the place sanctified. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are being enacted by his worshippers coming and worshipping him and his disclosing his mercy as they engage in this service. In this way, the Sharanagata experiences the highest joy. So, with the business of surrender, there's internal and external things. The internal is the contemplation and the feelings of surrender, the mood of surrender. I often use the term in the mood of service. But specifically, even the mood of serving, it's with surrender to the Supreme Lord. It's pleasing to Him. It's for His satisfaction. So we'll serve others. Pretty much covered the points. There are a number of quotes that say essentially the same ideas. We have no independent power, although we have some powers. We can do certain things, but those powers are not independent powers. We think of them as such, but then we deeply lament when all of a sudden they're gone. Our power of locomotion is gone because we break our legs. Or our power of speech is gone because something happens. Our power to see the organs of involuntary organs of the body start to break down. Then what happens? We're in trouble, and we lament. So that whatever powers we have, whatever opulence we have, they're not independent. And recognizing that this is the surrender based on intelligence. Remember I said there are three impetuses. One is fear, another is frustration, another is intelligence. We can understand these things are all temporary. They're not independent powers at all. Therefore, let me place them where they belong, at your feet. Now you can do with them as you wish. If you want me, I'm your servant. You indicate, use this in my service this way. Done. I carry out my life, the rest of my life, that way. Whatever you want. Take all these things that are so-called mine, my independent powers. They're yours. Engage me. Please engage me in your service. I'm yours. I'm your servant. So, in Padma Purana, these same ideas as expressed in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, this is the scriptural basis for it. In Padma Purana it says, not only my body, mind, and words, but my worldly burdens. They're yours. Just like if one company buys out another company. They acquire all their assets, but they also acquire all their debits, all their debts. So here it is. Here's my troubles. They're yours. I'm your servant. You look after me. I'm sure you'll do that. You're a perfect master. And I'm not going to worry about all these. It's not irresponsible life. Not what it's indicating. I won't pay my taxes because I surrendered to Krishna. Go ask Krishna for them. It means the anxiety of independent mindedness is gone. I'm serving Krishna, and so whatever earnings I have, they belong to Krishna. And Krishna's, I'll write the check or make the expenditure on Krishna's account. And it's my consciousness. It's for Krishna. It's Krishna's asset. It's Krishna's wealth. It's Krishna's house. It's Krishna's expenditure. And that because it's for Krishna, I'll do it very carefully. More carefully than it was mine. Because it's Krishna's. And it brings about the disturbance from material way of thinking is dissolved. Therefore, a natural state of peacefulness follows. But one works very, very attentively, assiduously, because it's for Krishna. Many quotes to help understand this. Brahma Vaivarta Purana, third canto Bhagavatam, some very nice understandings. Here's Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Lord Keshava is very close to those who are free from all sense of false ego. But for those who are not, there exists a wall of mountains between them and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this abandonment of ahankar closes the gap of distance between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. One becomes very close to him as opposed to very distant, with a big barrier between the two. One more comment, then we'll go look at some of the songs directly. In the instructions Lord Chaitanya gives to Sanatana Goswami, Atmanivedana comes last in the six. We discussed this several times now. Here it's coming in second position after humility. In part, it flows very naturally. In part, also, it's a literary device. It flows very naturally that after recognizing the futility of false shelters, I abandon those false shelters and dedicate myself to the service of the Lord. It flows very naturally. It also helps us understand that self-surrender is not just for people like Bali Maharaj. Only for people who are at the final position of devotion, like the highest position of devotion, they can surrender everything. We can do that also in the beginning stages. To the degree that we acknowledge our very meek and humble position, we can then dedicate ourselves to the Lord's service. And it enhances the ecstatic mood of the devotee to do so. And we all want to be ecstatic. We all want happiness. Now, you don't have the printout for any other song besides the third one.